Well, a few months ago, I noticed that I was seeing holes in my socks. Didn't expect me to start the sermon off that way, did you? Don't worry, this is going somewhere, I promise. So I started seeing these holes in my socks, and so I did what any reasonable person would do. I bought new socks, right? But then I did what any unreasonable person, also known as foolish person, would do. I put my brand new socks in the back of my sock drawer and have not used them yet. I am still using the holy ones. Don't ask me why I do this. I don't have a good logical reason. I guess I would say it's because I want my new socks to remain new. I don't want them to lose that new feeling that you have when you wear them for the first time. I know, it's completely absurd. I would also say that maybe it's to extend the lifespan of my new socks by not wearing them. So, look, I know, it's utter nonsense, but this is who I am. But it's not just socks, I do the same thing with shoes as well. I'll buy a pair of shoes and then not wear them for weeks, months sometimes. Why, might you ask? Because I don't want them to get dirty. I don't want my shoes to get dirty, which are literally used to walk on dirt. Now, as a former engineer who was literally paid to think logically, I have no logical reason whatsoever for doing what I do. The purpose of getting new sneakers is to wear them. But for some foolish reason, I just don't. I don't wear them until the weather conditions are perfect, in which it minimizes the risk of getting dirt on them. Someone hears me. In fact, okay, wait, by the way, ask Holly, she can corroborate all of this, okay? In fact, the last time that I got new sneakers, I actually wore them after only a day or two. And I remember specifically saying to Holly, "Look at me, Holly. I wore my sneakers after only a day or two." It was a big moment for me. Now, what these silly and yet embarrassingly true stories are getting at is this. I received a product, right, and then foolishly store them and put that product away instead of using it for its intended purposes. New socks are meant to be worn. They are not meant to be put in a drawer and collect dust and go unused. New sneakers are meant to be worn. They are not meant to be kept in a box and hidden away in the back of the closet where they go unused. And furthermore, I have no good reason for doing any of these things. It's utter foolishness on my part. Now, it turns out that this concept is related to our passage this morning, except that the matter that we're dealing with is far more important than new socks and new sneakers. In our passage this morning, in Luke 8, verses 16 through 18, Jesus likens us to lamps. And lamps, brothers and sisters, are made to shine. And Jesus expects us to shine forth the light, not to be like new socks hidden in a drawer or new sneakers kept in a box. We are made to shine. That is what we'll be talking about today, along with the other implications that Jesus makes in these verses. And so, let's read verses 16 through 18 again. I hope you kept those Bibles open. We'll be looking at it throughout the service. Verses 16 through 18 of Luke chapter 8. Jesus says, "No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Well, the first thing that Jesus tells his disciples is that you are saved to shine forth the light of Christ. You are saved to shine forth the light of Christ. In the passage immediately before this one, Jesus is explaining the meaning of the parable of the sower. And more specifically, in the very verse that precedes this one, verse 15, Jesus is describing a person that he likened to the seed being planted in the good soil. And it appears that Jesus is continuing to explain that good soil, the person who is like the good soil in verses 16 through 18. But instead of using the soil, he's now switching up the terminology. And so just as the seed planted in the good soil leads to a good rooted tree that bears good fruit, so a lamp that is lit when put on a lampstand will shine forth light. Just as a fruit tree is made to bear fruit, so a lamp is made to shine light. And so Jesus gets this point across with what he says in verse 16. He indicates that it is utter foolishness to light a lamp and then put a jar over it, or to hide it under a bed. Jesus says no one does that, and he's right, because why would you do that? It totally defeats the purpose of lighting the lamp to begin with. It was made to shine light, but by putting it under a jar or putting it under a bed, you are negating its purpose. A lit lamp is no good under a bed where it cannot shine forth its light. Instead, a lamp should be put on a lampstand in order that the light would shine forth for all to see. And if you are a genuine believer in Christ, then you are to shine forth the light of Christ. That is, to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. Jesus' disciples are likened to lamps, and lamps don't belong under covers where they are hidden. They are made to shine. Now, if we are likened to lamps, how does a lamp get lit? How does a candle get lit? We can't shine unless we have light. And so where do we receive this light? Well, before anyone encounters Jesus, remember, we are all in darkness, sitting in darkness, specifically the darkness of sin. And while in the darkness, they may hear the gospel message. They may hear that Jesus, who is God himself, came down to dwell and to live among us, that he went to the cross, that he took on the sins of all of those who would believe and trust in him, that he would bear the wrath of God that was reserved for those sins, and that the wrath of God literally crushed him and killed him, and that though 3 days later he rose victoriously from the grave, conquering sin and death, and that anyone who believes and trusts and receives Jesus Christ as their Lord, their Savior, and their greatest treasure, that their sins will be forgiven, their debt will be paid, they will be declared righteous before God, they will no longer have any condemnation before the infinitely holy God of the universe, and they will enjoy a restored relationship with God. And if the unbeliever who is in the darkness is given eyes to see the light of the gospel, and then believe and follow Jesus, he is saved. He is a believer. And listen to what Jesus says in John 8:12. Very relevant to our text. In John 8:12, Jesus says this, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." There it is. And so, if you have come to trust and follow Jesus Christ, the light of the world, then you have received the light of life. That is how your lamp gets lit. And Jesus says that in our passage this morning in Luke 8:16, that the light should not be hidden, but shine forth. You are saved to shine. You have received the light of life, not to put it in a closet, but to shine forth into the darkness. This means, don't hide your light under the jar of timidity, but rather boldly share your faith with your coworkers. Don't hide under your light under the cover of fear, but courageously live a life that points to Jesus. Don't hide your light under the jar of shame, but rather unashamedly tell others what you believe. Don't hide your light under the cover of awkwardness, but rather confidently shine the light of the gospel to others. Don't let fear or shame or timidity or the awkward feeling that you might have in sharing your faith with another person, don't let those things get in the way of shining forth the hope of the gospel. And the reason why we are not to allow those things get in the way is because you were made to shine. You were made to reflect the glory of God and the light of Christ into those who are in the darkness. Brothers and sisters, you are saved to shine. And so what are we going to do? Are we going to let fear and awkwardness cover our light? Are we going to let timidity and fear of others stop us from sharing the gospel? If you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to God, if you believe that he is the only way to be saved, then what could possibly be more important that would prevent you from sharing the gospel? Listen, I struggle with this too. And I'm a pastor. I know it is hard to share the gospel with loved ones, with family members in particular. I have family members who don't truly know Jesus. And so a question that really struck me as I was preparing this sermon was, what am I going to do? Am I going to just wait for them to ask, "Jimmy, can you tell me about Jesus and what he accomplished on the cross?" Should I wait for them to ask me? Should I wait for the perfect conditions and the perfect environment and for the voice of God to boom from heaven, "Tell them now"? Should I wait until I'm able to answer every possible objection and question concerning the faith? Should I wait until they are dying and in the hospital bed for me to desperately lay out the gospel to them? Or should I take the jar of timidity and fear off and let the light of Jesus shine in every opportunity that I get. Jesus is telling us here to shine forth the light of the gospel. And so shine it forth with your words. Shine it forth with your actions. Shine it forth with abounding love and grace and compassion and patience. Shine it forth in living a markedly different life from the rest of the world that accords with God's word. Shine forth, brothers and sisters, the light of Christ. Don't hide it. Don't conceal it. Don't obscure it. Shine it. You are saved to shine forth the light of Christ. This is what Jesus calls us to do. But that's not all what he tells us in this passage. In this passage, he reveals two purposes that result from us shining forth the light of Christ to others. And so let's read verses 16 and 17 where we see those purposes, okay? So all eyes back in the book, starting in verse 16. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. We'll stop there. And so Jesus is telling us that we are to shine forth the light of Christ. And what we see is that the light that we shine both illuminates and exposes. It illuminates and exposes. We'll take a look at those, at each of those one at a time. First, the light of the gospel of Christ illuminates. That is what Jesus means when he says at the end of verse 16, so that those who enter may see the light. In other words, when you shine forth the light of the gospel, and someone hears the message, and something inside their heart begins to stir, God has awakened in them a desire to know more about Jesus and the gospel. And so, moved by the power of the Holy Spirit, they move toward the light. They move toward Christ. They come to Jesus. And then the scales fall off their eyes, and they are able to behold the beauty and the majesty and the wonder and the glory of Christ. And then God gives them ears to hear the gospel message and understand it. And they are given a heart that truly believes and receives and trusts in Christ. And in this way, the light of the gospel illuminates them. They were once in the darkness of their sin, but the light of Christ tore through the darkness of their soul. And by God's saving grace, they come into the light. They receive Jesus. They follow him. And then they too proceed to shine forth the light of Christ to others. And so I'm reminded of the beautiful hymn. We should have sang it, but I didn't think about it until I was writing this. The beautiful hymn, And Can It Be That I Should Gain? In which one of the verses says this, long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. (Parentheses) This is the picture of the unbeliever remaining in the darkness of their sin, enslaved to their sin. Okay? Back to the verse. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. That is, the light of the gospel has come forth, has penetrated in their heart. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Amen. When we shine forth the light of Christ by God's grace, it illuminates some to see the beauty of Christ, to trust in Him as for their salvation, and to follow Him as His disciple. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin in nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, I've been set free. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. That's what happens when the light of the gospel illuminates your heart. And that's the first purpose of shining the light of the gospel. It illuminates the hearts of some to believe. Secondly, the light of Christ exposes. The light shines in the darkness and exposes our sin. And those who are not given eyes to see Christ as beautiful will hate the light of the gospel. They will hate that it exposes their sinfulness and exposes the error of the ways that they are living. They want nothing to do with the light. And so they reject it and they run away from it. And if they continue to reject the light of the gospel and remain in the darkness of sin, then judgment and condemnation from the infinitely holy God awaits them. This is exactly what is said in John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. Listen to this. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. You see, they don't want their hidden sins exposed. They don't want the sinful things done in secret to be revealed. They don't want their sinful pleasures that they enjoy to be exposed and taken away from them. They want to remain in their sin. They love the temporary pleasure and satisfaction that it brings. And in this way, they love the darkness because it conceals their sinfulness. But one day, all will be revealed. All will be laid bare. And judgment will come from running away from the light of the gospel. Now, where exactly am I getting this from the passage this morning in Luke 8? Well, take a look at verse 17. And specifically, its relationship to verse 16. It starts out with the word for, or because. And it gives the reason for what was said in verse 16. And the relationship between these two verses is not so clear. At least it wasn't so clear to me. It took me quite some time to figure it out. But I think the relationship between these two verses can be made clear with this paraphrase. This is my own paraphrase of verses 16 and 17. So here it is. So Jesus tells us, shine the light of Christ so that those who enter may see the light. That's verse 16. Verse 17. Because if they don't see the light and come to Jesus, because if they don't see the light and come to Christ, then one day the light will exhibit its second purpose, namely to expose that which is hidden, which is referring to their sin. End paraphrase. So there is a day coming in which the secret sins of unbelievers will be unearthed. Everything that is hidden will be revealed. Every secret sinful thought and indulgence will be brought to the light. And because of these unrepentant sins, and because they have remained in all their life in the darkness and have rejected the light, they will enter into judgment with God, with the God of the universe. They will face judgment for their Christ-rejecting, self-exalting sins that they loved doing in the darkness. And they will experience, frightfully, the full wrath of God for their sin for all eternity. The light of Christ will one day shine forth and expose the sins of all unbelievers that are hidden. And righteous judgment will ensue. The light of Christ that we shine both illuminates and exposes. Now, these two purposes of shining forth the light of Christ leads Jesus to deliver a warning for everyone who hears his word. And so let's take a look at verse 18 again, where we see that warning. Luke chapter 8, verse 18. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. All right. So Jesus tells us to shine forth the light of Christ, and that the light will both illuminate and expose sin. And then he tells us, he gives us this warning. As a result of this, because of what the light can do, here's the warning. Be careful how you hear and respond to the word of God. Be careful with how you hear and respond to the word of God. Jesus gives two results or two outcomes on how someone could hear the word of God. First, there are those who hear the word rightly. They hear the word rightly, they trust in Christ, and they follow him. Jesus says that these are the ones that have, and even more will be given to them. In other words, because they have heard rightly and received the good news of the gospel, they have God. God is theirs. God said, I am yours and you are mine. They have God. And they will continue to receive more of God as they follow Christ and remain in his word. Those who hear the word rightly will receive more blessing, more joy, more comfort, and more satisfaction in God. Now let me be clear. This does not mean that we will receive more worldly comforts, or more money, or less problems and worries. Rather, what it does mean is that those who rightly hear the word of God will be given a greater capacity to know God, to cherish him, to be satisfied in him and all that he is for us in Christ, to find our greatest joy in God, regardless of our circumstances and situations. The more that we are given in verse 18 is not necessarily physical, but rather spiritual. Those who hear God's word rightly will receive more of God. And this, brothers and sisters, is the greatest gift that those who have heard God's word rightly could ever receive. And then, this is the second outcome. There are those who hear the word wrongly and they reject Christ. And the result of hearing the word wrongly is that even what they think that they have will be taken from them. Jesus says that these are the ones that have not, meaning they do not have God. They have rejected God. They have rejected the word in favor of the world. And because they have received the world, they think that they have something. They think that their worldly possessions or their status or their money or their talents or their resume of apparent good deeds is something. But Jesus informs us here that it is nothing. They are those who have not, as it says in verse 18. Meaning, they truly don't have anything of significance or eternal value because they don't have God. And come judgment day, when the light of Christ exposes their God-rejecting, self-exalting sin, even the things that they think they have, their money, their status, their good deeds, whatever, will be stripped from them. They will be taken from them and exposed to be what they always were. Nothing. And so Jesus warns us, be careful how you hear and respond to the word of God. Those who hear it rightly will have received God and be graciously given more of him to enjoy. But those who hear the word wrongly do not have God because they've rejected him. And the temporary, fleeting things of this world, which they think they have, even that will be taken from them. And so be careful with how you hear and respond to the word of God. Let me close now with just a few words of encouragement. If you are a follower of Christ, you are made to shine. But you cannot manufacture the light. The good news, this is good news because it is not up to us to generate light. Instead, you must fix your eyes upon Jesus, who is the true light that has come into the world. You must follow him and his word closely because that is how you are to shine the light of Christ. You will shine more brightly for Jesus the more that you know Jesus. If you keep your eyes on Christ and continue to spend more and more time with him, then even in times of difficulty, trial, and hardship, you will shine like the sun for the Lord. And so look to Jesus, who is the light of the world, and mirror, reflect his light to those around you. And if you are sitting in the darkness now, today, and have until this day avoided coming into the light, would you lay aside your fears and your worry and look to Christ? Would you earnestly consider Jesus, the light of the world, and ask him to shine his light into your darkness? Would you ask him to envelop you in the light of the gospel of his glory, and that he would break the chains that are enslaving you to sin? Would you ask him to give you a new heart that hates the darkness, that hates sin, and instead loves the light and loves the Lord? Would you pray that God would give you new eyes to see and behold the light of Christ and to behold his glory and his beauty and his majesty, and that he would give you faith to believe? Church, Jesus warns us to be careful how we hear and respond to the word of God, Because how we hear and respond has eternal ramifications. Eternal ramifications. And so if you are a believer here this morning, understand the urgency, the utter urgency to shine forth the light of Christ to those who are in darkness. You are saved to shine forth the light of Christ. Don't collect dust by sitting on the shelf in the back of your closet. You are made to shine. So go and do so. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, I pray, O Lord, that you would help us to fix our eyes upon Jesus, that we would look to him, the author and perfecter of our faith, and we, God, would behold you in your glory. Would we come to know you more and more, Jesus, and would knowing you more and loving you more, would it just motivate us, inspire us, spur us on to shine forth your light. You command us, God. It is not an option. It is not a suggestion. It is a commissioning. It is a command. Shine forth the light of Christ. Go and make disciples. Go sow the word of God into the hearts of those sitting in the darkness. And so, Lord God, please help us. Help us to have the courage. Help us to not sit on our couches with the sack of God's word sitting next to us. Help us to not just put our lamp in the closet where it remains hidden and does not shine forth light. Help us, Lord God, to open our mouths and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And would you, God, be so gracious to use our feeble words to cause someone to be born again, to cause someone to see and behold your glory and be saved. Give us the courage and the boldness, I pray. And Father, I pray for those who are right now sitting in darkness, whether they are sitting here in this sanctuary or sitting at home behind a computer screen watching this online. I pray, God, that you would so open their eyes to behold your glory, and that you, God, would have them, by the power of the Holy Spirit, take one step closer to Jesus. Would you give them ears to hear, and eyes that see, and a heart that can receive the Word of God. Father God, it is a privilege, and it is a joy, and you so graciously use your sinful saints instruments, to be your tools, to be your lamps, to shine forth your lights. Give us the courage and the boldness to do so. We love you, Jesus. You are our King. Would we shine forth your light in the darkness, we pray. In Christ's mighty name, amen.